Simmons Pratt that died in Father Gray. The Snack Teddies. The Snack Teddies. The revolutionary podcast in sports entertainment. It's Pratt that died in Father Greg. The Snack Teddies.
Friends, and welcome to your SmackDown review for The Hub. I am Brad the Dad, and running shotgun with me is not my tag team partner, Greg Father Feltham, because Greg's in Newfoundland. But instead, I found somebody who is 50% of the reason why I am called Brad the Dad. And her name is Maddie McKinnon.
Hello.
Hello. And this is a live podcast we're recording. You can hear the sound effects of child number two. Say hi, James. And that's James in the background. So we're now recording, and we're going to talk a little bit about SmackDown for, what's today's date, Mandy?
It is December 20th.
Of when?
2024, Year of Shadow, baby.
And we're recording this podcast right after SmackDown, where we watched SmackDown on the couch, and I gave Maddie red food coloring, which means she's a little bit hypey.
Yeah!
And right there, I just stopped so we could listen to make sure this was recording, and Maddie said she's surging out.
Yes.
Which is a Sonic reference.
It is.
And we're going to talk about Sonic in a few minutes.
Yes.
After we get through the SmackDown review. Why are we doing all of these things together today?
Because today's the day.
What is today?
Today is the day that Sonic movie number 3 came out.
Wasn't today Daddy Daughter Day? Wasn't that the reason why we were recording a podcast?
Yeah, that's because we went to see the movie and then we hung out.
And then we hung out and we had red food coloring and two people with ADHD having red food coloring. Nothing could go wrong.
Yes, absolutely nothing.
So we are here sitting in front of my computer with my notes out open for SmackDown, and we're going to walk through SmackDown tonight. First of all, Maddie, how much wrestling do you watch?
Well, sometimes I read the TV tropes pages. Sometimes, like, when I'm on the trope pages on TV tropes, I, like, read, like, the examples, and some of the examples are from wrestling.
So you don't actually watch wrestling. You read about it on a thing called TV Tropes, which is, like, a weird Wikipedia subreddit kind of thing?
It's a wiki.
It's a wiki. Okay. So, first of all, do you know what's interesting about this episode of SmackDown?
Is it the last one before they switch to Netflix, or...
No, next week's the last one.
Next week's the last one.
So, yes, but this episode was actually taped last week.
Oh.
Does that change your perspective on this episode at all?
I just think that's kind of funky. I don't know.
The reason why they taped it is so that people could spend some time on a Christmas break before they went to work.
That's fair.
Yeah, so traditionally WWE does a lot of holiday shows. People get tickets and they do what's called a holiday loop, but they're giving their talent more time off.
Cool.
And I'll point out some of the things that we saw and why they were probably done the way they were because of that.
Yeah.
So you don't really watch wrestling. Do you, anything stick out? General first thoughts about sitting down and watching wrestling tonight?
I like spending time with you.
Aw, that's cute. All right. So first things we had was like a million recaps.
Yeah.
So recap one. Yes, that was the recap of the recap. It's so weird. I have my headphones on, but I can't actually hear the sound effects. So I'll fix that in post if it didn't work. And if it didn't, and if I forgot to fix it in post, I'm really sorry for everybody. We see the bloodline come out, and Maddie says, why are people booing them? But you should have known why they were booing them, because they were wearing red and black.
Yeah.
Which is what?
The evil colors.
Red and black are the evil colors. And then Maddie made a joke. She said she wanted to talk about...
Moana. Moana 2.
But we haven't seen that movie.
I haven't seen that movie because I don't want to watch it until it's on Disney Plus because I don't care enough to watch it in theaters.
All right. But Moana 2, just so you know, brought most of SmackDown last week.
Oh.
Which is annoying.
Yes.
Because they literally cut a match off.
That is very annoying.
It's funny watching this with somebody who watches the show differently, because you had your laptop on your lap, you had your phone out, watching the show, and yet you still saw an interesting sign in the crowd, which was?
Put Jacob in Fortnite.
So, Jacob Fatu, the Samoan werewolf.
Yes.
What is this Fortnite they speak of?
It's a video game.
Yes, that the youths play.
That the youths play. And they put a lot of, like, celebrities as, like, skins in the game.
There are wrestlers in the game already.
Yeah, there are wrestlers.
Like Rey Mysterio?
Yeah.
Okay. So, we hear everyone is booing him into oblivion. And then Maddie says, Maddie, this is where you start talking about, you wondered if there's any overlap between...
I went off on a side tangent about, like, how everyone is booing, because the difference between villains that people like and villains that no one like. And I went off on, like, a tangent about the Sonic IDW comics, and Dad didn't write it down, and I figured that probably because there isn't a lot of overlap between the Sonic IDW comics and people who listen to this podcast.
So if you are a Sonic fan who reads the Sonic IDW comics, comment below so that Maddie knows that there's at least two people who bought these comics, not just her. Is that
I read them on a website.
I don't know if you're supposed to say that in public.
Oops.
Oops. All right. So they are going to fight in tribal combat on Netflix for the Ulafala, which is the sign of Samoan leadership. Drew McIntyre comes down, and then you make a smart remark about Drew McIntyre.
I said, I wonder what country he's from.
Could you tell, Maddie?
I couldn't tell.
And do you know what his nickname used to be?
I'm going to guess it's something extremely stereotypical.
No, something very inappropriate. And you have to use your big girl voice while we're talking.
Okay. What was it? I don't know.
They used to call him Big D. And he had a failed tag team with Big E because they were Big ED.
Oh, no.
Drew says he's sick and tired of the Bloodline, and he knows a solo cost him the title, but right now he's going to take out the other members of the Bloodline, all he wants from Solo is to take out Roman. And then Jimmy on his crutch, who broke his toe during War Games, comes out and beats him up with his crutch. Down comes LA Knight, Andrade, and Apollo Crews, and there's a fight, and apparently we're getting a six-man tag.
Yeah.
We're getting a six-man tag, Maddie, for the next half an hour.
Yeah, it was long. And it was just like, yeah.
It was just long.
It was long and kind of disorienting, honestly.
The story of this match was, can these three guys who never team up get revenge on the Bloodline? Spoiler alert, not so much.
No.
So we talk about the evil color scheme. Maddie, who is the biggest star in this match when you're like just watching this? Who do you think the most popular wrestler is? From just watching.
I thought it was the guy with the pink pants.
Which was Andrade. And Maddie, who is Andrade married to? I'll give you a hint. Her father is a famous wrestler, and so is she.
I know you brought this up
before. She has blonde hair.
Charlotte Flair?
Yes, that's who Andrade's married to, is Charlotte Flair. And she is, so you didn't know that. So we get a bunch of cool dives from Andrade and Apollo, but eventually Apollo's isolated in the ring. Andrade makes a hot tag. He does some offense. And then he's isolated in the ring. We get two commercial breaks. And yeah, last week, I told Maddie that LA Knight referred to the Ulafala as the Ufalafa. And then I asked her, what's the score on a racism scale of 1 to 10? What level of racism was that?
That was like a 5.
That was a 5. Yeah, your mom has a 4-point scale at school, so that was a 2. That was a 2.
But I also said it could have been worse.
Oh, it definitely could have been worse. So LA Knight's the last person to get tagged in. He does his hot offense, but he tags in Apollo Crews, which is a mistake. Eventually, LA Knight's taken out by Shinsuke Nakamura. Maddie, you saw Shinsuke Nakamura. You've seen him before.
Yes.
What did you think of his new... He's now like a demon samurai.
Cool.
Did you like the face paint?
Yeah.
Anyways, he took out LA Knight and Apollo Crews loses. God forbid Maddie sees Apollo Crews win a match. Well, can't have you have a false impression. Apollo Crews does not win anything.
Oh, like Sonic at the Game of the Year.
Yes, he never wins that. So, thoughts on this first match, which went on about 30 minutes?
It was very long. All that. It was like chaotic, and I feel like it went on for too long.
Okay, very honest thing. We got recap number two, and this is a recap of how Chelsea Green won her title, and then we hear a promo in the back, and I inform Maddie that she's married to the former Zack Ryder, Matt Cardona, and they went to Disneyland.
Dang.
What did you think of Chelsea?
I don't know.
Was it funny that she was calling the announcer by the wrong name?
Yes, that was like very funny.
And was it funny that they gave her gum, she took her gum out and put it in his hand.
Yeah.
Kind of gross in a post-COVID world.
That was unhinged. I would even go so far as to say no longer connected to the doorframe.
And do you know that she's Canadian?
Oh.
Yep, she's Canadian, Maddie.
Defying the Canadian stereotypes.
So we get recap number three. And Kevin Owens got mad, and he beat up Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
And we get a health update that Cody has cervical swelling.
Yeah, something like that.
So does that mean he's not going to be around for a while?
Probably. Like, that sounds bad. Okay. So probably.
So was he really hurt, or was this part of the show? I'm using air quotes.
Don't know, honestly.
Do you want me to tell you whether he was really hurt or whether it was part of the show?
I feel like it was just part of the show, but...
Yeah, because Cody's going to have to go do a movie thing.
Oh.
So they're taking him out, and Kevin Owens is walking around with the Winged Eagle title, the traditional Hulk Hogan 1980s belt. And he's mad, and he said it could get worse. How could it get worse if he actually snapped?
I don't know. I feel like he's just trying to, like, play up, like, the devil shivers when a nice guy loses his temper type of crap. Like, that, like, dudes post on social media. But then dudes post that on social media and actually end up committing crimes. So, I don't know, honestly.
Unhinged.
Unhinged, yes.
Hey, which Canadian province is Kevin Owens from?
I feel like I know this.
Okay.
Quebec.
Right. And how did he learn how to speak English?
I'm gonna guess, like, cartoons or something.
Come on. What are we talking about?
Oh, wrestling.
Yep.
Okay. So, I was thinking about my friend who lives in Quebec and learned to speak English from freaking watching SpongeBob. So
Maddie, he thought slobberknocker was a common English phrase.
Oh my God.
Unhinged. So we have did I miss the oh yeah, I did. I before the US title stuff, Alex Shelley talked about how he's gonna get revenge on Johnny Gargano, how he turned on him. And Maddie wondered if Machine Gun Kelly had the name before the Motor City Machine Guns.
No, he did not. Spoiler, he copied them.
He copied
them. Machine Gun Kelly L.
That's probably one of many Machine Gun Kelly L's.
Yes, yes. Don't get me started on that, man. Anyway.
Go ahead. Feel free.
Well, for one, he, like, dated a 16-year-old when he was, like, 20-something, which is kind of, yikes, just a little bit.
A little icky. Okay, so Johnny Gargano then says he wants Tommaso Ciampa to stay in the back because Alex Shelley asked his tag partner to stay in the back. And apparently, there's going to be a match. Oh, the Grayson Waller effect featuring Braun Strowman coming out as Santa. And what was he doing, Maddie?
The Australian guy?
No, the big guy dressed like Santa. His name is Braun Strowman.
He was giving people free merch.
Yeah, he was like whipping stuff into the crowd.
Yeah.
And then Braun Strowman gets recap number 67. This show, now that I told you it was taped, does it make way more sense why there was so much filler?
Yes.
Okay, Maddie, the joke started with, well, let's give the poor people of Hartford something nice. So Hartford took a stray. What did you think of A-Town Down Under, the Australian and his muscly friend?
They were aight.
Wait, what?
I said they were aight.
They were aight? Is that because of abs?
Maybe.
All right, so apparently Braun Strowman is the biggest acquisition to SmackDown, and they're trying to lure him into an alliance, but down comes Carmelo Hayes, and he has a plan. Also, Braun Strowman threatens to destroy their set a couple of times and is really quite funny in this promo.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. It was pretty fun.
I didn't think Braun Strowman was that quick on his feet.
Yeah, for real.
He doesn't look like that when you look at a big, muscly dude.
Yeah, it was like Sonic Boom Knuckles chasing after you because you ate the last chili dog or something. I don't know.
Sonic Boom Knuckles. All right, more on that, because at the end of this podcast, we're going to talk about the Sonic movie we saw. So, match number two of the night is Carmelo Hayes versus Braun Strowman. The story of this match is Carmelo trying to outsmart Braun, because last week he got squashed. And they play cat and mouse, but essentially they run around until they're on the outside. Carmelo gets beat up. He smacks Braun, and Braun gets so mad he throws him back into the ring, and Braun gets counted out. So that's a pretty crappy way to win the match, but he did outsmart him.
True. Very true.
So, what were your thoughts on this match?
It was aight.
It was aight.
It was fine.
It was fine. Good, not great.
Good, not great. Yeah.
Nia and Candace are back. They are talking. They walk in on Tiffy. Tiffy says she wants to be there to support them, raise their hands when they win. But they've talked about it, and they don't want Tiffany out there. The reason why, Maddie, is that she could cash in that Money in the Bank and beat Nia.
Yeah.
And they're mean. But you had an interesting observation about Tiffany Stratton.
I said she looks like Barbie, but specifically like the 2000s animated Bratz movies where the main antagonists were clearly like parodies of Barbie.
So, are you saying this because she, it looks kind of plastic?
Yes.
I don't know what you mean.
Yeah, totally.
Sean Burkhead, my friend down in the States, is a little bit in love with her.
I mean, I can't judge because my best friend is in love with freaking Sephiroth. So...
No more red food coloring for you. Melo's running through the back. He runs into Legato. And right behind him is Braun. Legato points out where he is. They run pretty deadly. They still want him to be in their musical. They distract him long enough so that Carmelo hits him in a chair a couple times and then runs because he's not stupid. And Braun just roars.
Yeah.
Do you know what Braun's nickname is?
Dinosaur.
The monster among men.
The monster. Okay. Yeah.
Makes sense?
Like Godzilla. Yeah.
Like Godzilla. Okay. Alex Shelley versus Johnny Gargano. Alex Shelley from the Motor City Machine Guns. And then, Maddie, you made a comment about Alex Shelley's music.
Sounding like Crush 40. Yes. Yes, I did.
Would you like to explain to your old father what Crush 40 is?
Crush 40 is the rock band that does the music for the Sonic games.
Do you know that most people don't like the Motor City Machine Guns theme song?
Yeah, well, I'm a Sonic fan, so clearly I'm in the minority.
Recap number 79. How DIY beat the Motor City Machine Guns? Somebody got blasted in the nuts, Maddie.
Dang, that's crazy. Unhinged.
That's your word of the night.
Maddie's word of the day is unhinged.
Can you spell unhinged for the people?
U-N-H-I-N-G-E-D.
Unhinged. Can you use it in a sentence?
Miguel O'Hara is the most unhinged character from any movie I've ever seen. You know, actually, no, wait, I forgot about Ratatouille.
Ratatouille. Okay. Back to the match. Corey Graves makes fun of Johnny Gargano the entire match.
Yes. And he was out for blood.
And then, he was out for blood, talking about how Johnny Gargano's dad let people sleep over at his house, and that's why he had friends. And then we find out Alex Shelley is a former TNA champion, which sounds really dirty. You're just going to spend half of this podcast laughing at my jokes.
I'm feeling silly.
You're feeling silly. All right. Maybe we should record this in the morning. Shelley hits a strike and tries for a submission. He tries for the Gargano escape, which he taught Johnny Gargano. Then there's some cheap shots. Eventually, Tommaso Ciampa comes down to cause the distraction, and Gargano wins. So the mean guy, the guy that nobody likes, wins.
Yeah.
The line of the match, though, was definitely on commentary. I'd like to punch Gargano's teeth down his throat, but not Tommaso Ciampa. I'm afraid of him.
Yeah. Speaking, actually, no. This, do I want to say that? Maybe if it's, like, irrelevant, you can just edit it out. Tommaso Ciampa really, 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 really low-key reminds me of Sephiroth, actually.
Okay. And Sephiroth's from?
Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah, I knew that, but I wanted you to explain to the people who are listening at home. Okay. Dude, it's like, we got way more video game references than when Greg does this podcast.
I'm a nerd.
Yeah, we can tell. Either this week, earlier this week, we had the Netflix kickoff. Logan Paul's on Raw. Gunther wants to kill him. Liv Morgan and Rhea Ripley. Paul Heyman. And yeah, CM Punk for Seth Rollins are going to be our main event. But our main event tonight was Naomi versus Bianca, who are defending the women's titles because Jade is hurt and Naomi's taking her place and will not touch the title. She's defending against Candice LeRae and Nia Jax. So, Maddie, fun fact, Candice LeRae is married to another wrestler who was on this show. Who is she married to? It's a dude. That's your first one.
Isn't she married to Johnny?
Yeah, she's married to Johnny Gargano. And she has a baby that's like 2 years old.
Yes.
I know. That's and she's crazy. Out in that outfit.
That's crazy.
You commented on her outfit early on. It was giving you vibes.
It was giving me. We'll get to that.
Okay, so Naomi gets isolated for the commercial. Then Bianca gets beat up. So the story of this match is that the faces are isolated and beat down by the heel tag team. Eventually, Nia Jax gets her head smashed off the turnbuckle, the outside metal post, which cuts her open. We get a crazy 450 splash down. Oh, and then this is where you made a comment about Candace's outfit.
Yeah, I said Candace's outfit was giving Kingdom Hearts.
Again, a video game reference.
Again, a video game reference.
So Tiffy comes down. But instead of passing the briefcase over like she was asked to by Nia, she's a distraction. Nia gets taken out, and we have a split leg and moonsault on Candice by Naomi for the win. Naomi defends titles and finally touches the titles because the jinx is over.
Yeah.
And that was your second last episode of SmackDown ever. Also, during this match, our TV glitched because Sportsnet 360 blows.
Yeah. Sportsnet 360... is cringe.
Blows. All right, Maddie. This is the part where we're going to play a little game because it's time for the synopsis.
This is your SmackDown synopsis.
Maddie's making more editing for me. She finished all the cream soda. She's unhinged. Okay, so do you know how this works, Mandy?
Kinda.
So you get to choose what part of the show that people should watch. So we call that keep.
All right.
If you want something to go away, you call that cut. Right. And if you want to go faster, we call that a superstar special. Okay. So you're basically like Mario with the star.
All right. I got you.
Okay, so let's go through the opening segment with Drew McIntyre and the bloodline that leads into the match. That's definitely a...
Yeah.
Meh. I feel like, yeah, that's a meh.
It's a meh. The match, the six-man tag, took up a third of this match. What do you want to do with that?
Speed up. Definitely speed up. Gotta go fast. Gotta go fast.
Right?
No, but it seemed like, I don't know.
Maddie's not going to be disrespectful.
It felt relevant to the plot.
So all the recaps? Cut.
Yes, cut. Definitely cut the recaps.
So we're going to, do you want to see any of the interviews like Chelsea or Kevin Owens or any of those things?
Well, Kevin Owens one was...
The only one you're keeping?
Yeah. That was, because that was like entertaining at least.
He was funny?
Yeah.
It's Tiffy time!
Okay, so this leads us to the Grayson Waller effect with Braun Strowman.
That was also pretty funny.
Okay, so we'll keep that one. Let's call that one this one.
Yeah.
Match, the actual match itself. And yeah, that takes us pretty much to the... Do you want to see Carmelo Hayes run for his life from the monster?
Oh, yeah, that was funny.
That was funny. I think I'm mad.
Yeah!
And then that takes us to the... That takes us to Alex Shelley versus Johnny Gargano.
I'd say... Maybe speed it up a little bit?
Hey, did you want to see the Netflix press conference thing?
No, literally could not care less.
And what about the main event?
That was good. Honestly, I'd keep that. That was that one.
It's Tiffy time.
I might be a bit biased.
You might be a bit biased. Why were you a bit biased?
I don't know. I just generally like the women's thing ones more.
You like the women's wrestling better?
Yeah.
All right, friends. So Maddie basically said this is about a half a SmackDown that you should watch on Fast Forward.
Yeah, it was.
In 2 weeks' time, when this is on Netflix, you can watch it at 1.5.
Yeah.
I think that'll make some of this go better.
Yes, definitely.
So Greg will be back in a couple weeks. In the meantime and in between time, you'll get some special shows from us over the holidays. We'll have a special main show, which will have some holiday surprises as well. We are currently recording 2024 trivia, which will come out throughout the holidays. The Raw Dogs will be back on Monday. Steve Swift's Rambling Review with the NXT review. And Storytime with Jimmy on Sunday. Plus, in the new year, you're going to be getting new shows, including Ringside 5. And you also always get the main show. But Greg and I will be back. And maybe I will coax Maddie into watching the last SmackDown ever on Sportsnet.
Mayhaps.
If I bribe you with cream soda, mayhaps.
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 Cream soda and getting to talk about my stuff.
Sure. So for those of you who are listening for the wrestling review, this is the end. Good night. Goodbye. But if you're waiting to hear about our take on Sonic 3, oh boy, you're about to get a very in-depth run. Okay. And
spoilers, yes or no?
Well, we'll talk about that in 2 seconds.
Okay, fine.
First, we have to stop. Gotta go fast. Gotta go fast.
Gotta go faster, 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 faster. What's up, guys? You're watching the Maddie part of the show, which is the part of the show where Maddie talks about Maddie things. Duh. So we're going to be talking about a movie that, at the time of recording this, we pretty much just watched, like we watched earlier today. And that is Sonic the Hedgehog 3. And let me just say, it was amazing. It was actually, like, it genuinely altered my brain chemistry. I was wearing I was wearing a Rouge LeBac cosplay in the theater, so I was wearing mascara, and the mascara was supposedly waterproof. It was not waterproof.
You needed whatever the ladies in the main event of SmackDown.
Yes, I needed whatever the ladies in the main event of SmackDown were wearing, 100%.
So Mad Maddie Mac is driving this part of the podcast. So why don't we do the first part of this, maybe as a spoiler-free part? Then we can give people a warning. It's like, go away if you don't want to be warned.
Okay, yeah, that's a good idea. So first part of the review, spoiler-free.
Well, general impressions maybe of the movie.
General impressions. It was great. It was really funny. There was funny moments. There was some more like dramatic, like emotional moments. There was like, there was a lot of like, Sonic and Tails and Knuckles being besties, which I love. There was
fan service in this.
There
movie.
Was a lot of fan service. There was a lot of like the music in particular was a highlight, and Jim Carrey in two different roles was also a highlight. And of course, we can't talk about the movie without talking about the elephant in the room, Keanu Reeves as Shadow. Dude, the Canadians stole the show in this movie.
Yeah, because there was a lot of Canadians. So Keanu Reeves.
Keanu Reeves, Jim Carrey, and the guy who played Agent Stone, whose name I cannot remember right now, is also Canadian.
Yeah. So it was like all CanCon all the time.
Yes.
Like two of the four main actors who were physical actors, like not digital characters, were Canadians. And then one of the four voice actors was Canadian?
Yes.
Wow. So overall, it was a very fun movie. I'm not as big of a Sonic fan as Maddie is, but I was able to follow along. And there was definitely fan service if you've ever played the games. And I have not played all the Sonic games, but I played enough that I could follow along and get the jokes. And there was even stuff from like online fandoms that people follow.
Yeah. Like there was references to like the Snapcube real time fandubs, if anyone's heard of those. Well, there was one reference, but I was like flabbergasted.
Oh, I think you need to stop saying the word like.
Yeah, sorry.
No, I'm just saying. We're just working on improving your ability to speak. Don't worry, I stutter and sputter all the time on the podcast.
Okay.
But the point being is that it was a fan service, great movie. And who is this movie for? Like, who would you recommend it for?
I definitely recommend it to Sonic fans. But I'd also recommend it to people who aren't Sonic fans. Because it's like, I feel like there's something in it for everyone. And if you have, like, if you have kids, it's definitely a good, like, movie to go together with the family and watch together.
Yeah, there was definitely there was those odd adult jokes that were made, but the kids went over the kids' heads. And it was, it really went by very fast.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you have not seen the movie and you don't want in-depth talk about the movie, you can check us out here. We'll be back next week. We the ones.
Okay, so.
Wait, hold on. This is your last warning. If you go beyond this point, you are definitely being spoiled.
Yes.
Spoiled? 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 Spoiled?
Spoiled like a can of spoiled milk. Wait, no, milk doesn't come in cans.
Spoiled like a bag of milk because we're Canadian.
Yes, bag. Yes.
Spoiled like a bag of milk. You'll be as wretched. See, I screwed up all the time. It'll be as wretched as that fish that I forgot in the car and found 24 hours later in July.
Yes. Okay, so let's talk about it.
So how are we going to go through this? Do you want to go through it chronologically or just want to like shout out some of the best parts?
I want to shout out some of the best parts. I want to shout out just...
How about Jim Carrey dancing with Jim Carrey?
Yes!
Where Dr. Robotnik...
And Gerald Robotnik...
Are dancing together.
Yeah. That was...
Wait, are they both Dr. Robotniks?
Yeah, they're both doctors. I'm pretty sure they both have doctorates.
So they end up in a hall of lasers, and clearly somebody is body doubling for the second Jim Carrey.
Yes!
And they're just dancing, and it's obnoxious.
It was beautiful. It was like, pure cinema, honest to God. Yeah, but like, yeah, Jim Carrey was hamming it up to the highest degree for that entire movie. That was great.
Yeah, and so this is supposed to be his last movie ever.
Yes. So, allegedly.
Allegedly.
Yes.
I will be very sad if he is not back for the next movie.
Yes.
Although they did write a very good ending for his character if he doesn't come back. So.
Yes. We'll get to that.
So where do you want to start with the camping trip? They were on the camping trip.
And there was, and Knuckles was taking roasting marshmallows way too seriously. And.
Is that like a Knuckles thing?
Knuckles just takes everything way too seriously. It's part of his character. He's like the comically serious, as TV Tropes would call it.
What were they celebrating? It was like a word they made up, like dyslexic.
It was Sonic's Earth birthday, and they called it the Earth Day, and Sonic read it as like
Urber Day?
Yeah, something like that.
Which is interrupted because at this point, Shadow has woken up from his cryogenic sleep.
Yes. And then Gunn shows up and they're like, "You guys gotta get on this freaking helicopter.
And go to Japan. Why was this shot? Why do you think this was shot in Japan?
Because Japan.
Because that's where Sega's from?
That's where Sega's from. Also, it, like, pays tribute to, like, Japanese monster movies, that sort of thing.
Okay, how come Shadow could supercharge the motorcycle?
Because he has chaos powers. He has chaos energy.
So what's the difference between his energy and Sonic's energy?
In the movie canon, I feel like Sonic's energy is, like, powered by lightning, and his is, like, powered by, like, whatever weird space stuff he brought down with him.
Space mumbo jumbo, yes. So Sonic has lightning speed powers, but Shadow has chaos speed powers.
No, his speed comes from his shoes, but, like, the power and the teleportation come from, like, the...
Okay, so he has special shoes that allow him to run as fast as Sonic.
Yes.
But he can, like, bamf. He teleports. Yeah. Short-term teleports.
Yes.
It's super annoying.
And that's how he absolutely curb stomps...
Knuckles.
And
Tails. And eventually Sonic.
He just immediately drop kicked Tails. And I was like, guys, it's real. Shadow and Tails have beef for no reason in every universe.
And they got their butts kicked. And eventually, it's like, he runs away on a motorcycle. They chase up a building.
He also has a gun. It's a laser gun. He has a gun.
Why is him having a gun such a big deal?
Because in the 2005 video game, Shadow the Hedgehog, Shadow is famous for having a gun.
Yeah.
That's literally the only thing most people remember from that game is that they gave Shadow a gun.
And eventually they are attacked by robots. And the head of Gunn is... injured.
Yeah. And they're at the Chow Garden Cafe. That's very important.
Why is the Chow Garden Cafe so important?
It's a reference to a game mode in the Sonic, the Dreamcast game, so Sonic Adventure 1 and 2, where you have, like, these little, like, virtual pets called Chow, and you have to, like, take care of them, and then you can make them race each other. God.
Because that felt a little racist.
What?
The whole thing where they're, like, in the Japanese, like, it felt very, like...
to be, like, Japanese, like, Chuck E. Cheese.
Okay.
Like.
Okay, so Japanese Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah.
Anyways, there's explosions and death.
Yes.
And eventually they end up... The assistant, what's his name?
Agent Stone.
Yeah, Agent Stone ends up connecting them to...
Robotnik.
In the... What is his ship?
The crab ship.
So is this a joke just because, like, it's a crab shaped ship, or is this, like, I was like, oh, Robotnik has crabs.
No, I think it's just that he likes making ships that are shaped like animals. That's like, I feel like that's like a recurring theme.
I thought he made ships that were made like eggs.
Those are like the two constants.
Because isn't he also called Eggman?
Yes, he's also called Eggman.
So anyways, it turns out somebody's hacked his tech and is stolen his stuff, and they're going to use that to find Shadow.
Yes.
And then we get Shadow's tragic backstory.
Yes, with Maria.
So how did Maria die in the video game / comics?
He died in the video game / comics because the Guardian Units of Nations, basically like the Sonic Universe, like CIA / NATO, it's like a mix of both. They shut down the operation because they think it's too dangerous. And in the process, they like literally they arrest Gerald and they kill everyone. And the random gun soldier like shoots Maria while she's sending Shadow down in the escape pod.
Yeah, and in this one, they don't actually have her get shot.
They don't have her get
something gets shot and it explodes and kills her.
Yeah,
and that turns Shadow into a rage monster.
Yes.
And eventually we find out that...
And then he gets put in stasis for 50 years.
And then he runs into Robotnik?
Yeah.
Who is Maria's grandfather?
Gerald Robotnik is Maria's grandfather.
Okay, so... But she's also the grandfather of...
No, Gerald Robotnik is Maria's grandfather. Eggman is Maria's cousin.
Okay, so they're both his grandkids.
Yes.
And the girl's dead.
And the girl's dead.
And the other one is just didn't know he had a grandpa.
Yeah. He was in the first movie they brought up that he was like an orphan and he got bullied at school and then he somehow beat up the bully so badly that he was had to eat through a tube for 3 months.
Right. And then so this is where Robotnik teams up with Robotnik.
Yes. And we get the two Jim Carreys.
Hamming
it up.
Right.
And breaking the fourth wall at one point.
And they beat up, and we have Shadow coming out of the shadows and beating up all our heroes.
Yes.
And tying them up.
Yes.
And trying to throw them into a black hole.
Yes. Except then they use the warp ring, and so they end up back at Tom and Maddie's house.
Right. And then they come up with an elaborate plan to steal a key card, which because there's two of them, and they lost one already.
Yeah. And they need the key card to shut down the
Doom weapon.
Yeah.
The MacGuffin.
The MacGuffin, yes.
The MacGuffin for
the Eclipse
movie.
The Eclipse cannon.
And so they make a plan and nothing goes right.
And nothing absolutely
Team Sonic fails miserably.
and Knuckles is just way too excited about getting to punch the Big Ben.
Right. He was supposed to be the backup plan because it was in case of emergency break glass.
Yes.
Now, just before this, before we got into that, we found out that the Chaos Emerald is being hidden by Knuckles.
Yeah.
Because they've agreed that it's too dangerous to use.
Yes.
But then something happens that makes them want to use Chaos Emerald.
Yes.
And what is that something?
Shadow punches Tom and like completely knocks him out, and Tom is like
breaks his ribs. Stop. and they think that he's killed him.
Yes,
but he didn't kill him, but it was because he was wearing a disguise that made him look like
the commander of gun.
Yeah, who Shadow really hates.
Yeah, because he thinks he was responsible for Maria dying.
Right. And so at this point Sonic's unhinged and he wants the Chaos Emerald. And gets Chaos Emerald, and we see what's his name from the
Knuckles show.
Yeah,
off Wade Whipple.
Right, and now they're gonna go. So Sonic has the Chaos Emerald.
Yeah,
and is about to go and fight Shadow.
Yes,
literally rockets off into space.
Yeah, he turns into Super Sonic, and he rockets off into space.
But when they're fighting, something happens.
When they're fighting, Shadow gets a hold of the Emerald and turns it to Super Shadow. So now they're both super and they're fighting each other in space.
And insanity occurs.
Yes, insanity occurs. Meanwhile, like there's also stuff going on with the Robotniks because Eggman finds out that Gerald was actually planning to destroy the entire world, and Eggman is mad about this because if the world is destroyed, then he can't take over anything.
Right, and also he is, I want to take over the world evil, not I want to commit mass genocide evil.
Yes.
Different levels of evil.
Yeah. Evil versus oblivion.
Yep. So we have crazy evil versus lawful evil.
Yes.
So what ends up happening with Sonic and Knuckles? Or Sonic and Shadow?
So Sonic and Shadow...
Because there's been a falling out. Team Sonic is not helping Sonic, and he's fighting
because,
by himself.
Because they're mad. They're mad that he went to use the Chaos Emerald, even though they said he shouldn't do that because it's too dangerous. But then Knuckles and Tails end up on the ship.
Right, and they fight, but Sonic and Shadow fight to a standstill, and basically learn, and Sonic has the opportunity to kill Shadow.
But then he remembers Tom telling him to make that revenge is never the way to do things.
So he won't kill him, and they have a heart to heart, and we've turned Shadow into an anti-hero.
Yes.
And the two of them are both in super mode, and they're going to go try and save the world by stopping the giant god.
Yeah. So they're both trying to move the eclipse cannon out of the way. So that it doesn't shoot at the Earth, and it takes a lot of like strength and energy and stuff.
Meanwhile, on the platform, Gerald Robotnik and Eggman are fighting.
Yes, and then Eggman presumably kills Gerald by shoving the electric quill up his butt and shooting him off into space.
Right, after he's saved by Tails and Knuckles. And then Tails and Knuckles work with Gerald or Eggman?
No, Eggman.
Work with Eggman to change the station while the ray is literally being held by
Supersonic and Super Shadow. Yes.
And then the ray gets pushed out of the way, but it hits something else.
It hits the moon. Yes.
Why is this such a special thing?
Well, in the original game, it was Eggman showing off the power of the eclipse cannon by blowing off a chunk of the moon. In the movie, that's how it happens. In the internet, there is a very famous scene from the SnapCube fandub. I told you this would get brought up again. Where he...
Eggman pisses on the moon?
Eggman pisses on the moon, yes.
Unhinged.
He makes an announcement about Shadow pissing on his wife, and then he pisses on the moon.
So we then have Sonic. So Shadow goes back to the station to try and prevent it from blowing up in the atmosphere.
And then Sonic falls
with the Chaos Emerald. So he's still super Shadow.
And Tails and Knuckles go down and to save him.
Yeah, and Tails and Knuckles work together to save, the three of them save each other.
Yeah.
So go team. But, and Robotnik and Shadow.
Yeah.
Which Robotnik?
Eggman.
Eggman, Robotnik. What's his real name?
Ivo.
So Ivo, Robotnik, Eggman, and Shadow work together to save the world, but we think Eggman and Shadow die.
Yes.
And everybody's happy. Turns out that their friend isn't dead. And haha, funny times.
Yeah.
And then we get two cutscenes.
Two post-credit scenes. And oh boy, do I want to talk about these.
Well, you got nothing but gigabytes of space left on my hard drive. Okay. Go ahead.
Well, so the first cutscene we have... So at the end of the movie, Sonic was racing Tails and Knuckles. And he's like... Whoa, I went way too far because he's in New York and there's a sign that says, "Welcome to New York." And then guess who? And then something appears and attacks him and it's Metal Sonic.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about Metal Sonic.
Metal Sonic is a clone, a robot clone of Sonic that was, well, in the game canon, he was made by Eggman. I don't know what they're going to do in the movies. Maybe he was made by Eggman before he had his, like, redemption equals death moment, I guess. I don't know.
Right, so...
And then...
Right, and then a bunch of them show up, and it looks bad for Sonic, but he's saved by a heroine.
And a hammer flies out of nowhere, and I'm... And I literally screeched in the middle of the theater.
Why did you screech, Maddie?
It was Amy.
So who's Amy?
Amy is basically like the Princess Peach of the Sonic universe.
I like how you had to use a Nintendo reference to justify a Sega platform. She's like the Zelda of the...
Yeah.
So you have to use another Nintendo reference because she's the Zelda.
Yeah. But yeah, basically, she has a hammer and she whacks people with it.
But she's more useful than Princess Peach.
She's more useful than Princess Peach, yeah.
Not Zelda, because Zelda has that alternate form where she's like a ninja.
Yeah, and Zelda's like the descendant of like an ancient god or something. So.
Yeah, she's got superpowers.
So, yeah, but...
But so does Amy.
Yeah.
Not Rouge the Bat, though.
No Rouge the Bat, but I have a theory.
Okay.
We'll get to this. Okay.
Okay, we have a second cutscene.
We have a second post-cutscene, which is just the crater in the ground, and then we see Shadow's shoes move forward, which means that Shadow is
still alive, and he grabs his arm bracelets, which he took off while he was fighting the station.
His inhibitor rings, yeah.
What are his inhibitor rings? Do they prevent him from going completely nuclear?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. So that now you have a theory. Go ahead. Go into this is okay, Maddie. This is the Maddie part of the podcast where you like lose your sleeping mind.
This is what I like to call wild mass guessing, and that's not a term I came up with. It's a TV tropes term, again. But so here's my theory. Because Shadow's still alive, they're establishing Metal Sonic as the villain, and they're introducing Amy, who's another character. I think that they're going to adapt. And they set up the whole, like, Teen Sonic thing. I think they're going to adapt Sonic Heroes for the next movie, which means...
What is Sonic Heroes?
Sonic Heroes is a video game from 2003, and it's the first Sonic game to go multi-platform. It's the first Sonic game that was... It's the first mainline Sonic game that was released with Sega as a third-party developer, so it's on the... GameCube, PlayStation 2, and Xbox.
And there were two teams.
And there are more than two teams, but
it was after the Dreamcast sunk and Sega became a developer.
Yeah. It focuses on there's four teams of three. But for the sake
No. This is not for the sake. We're going into crazy lore. Go.
Okay, we're going into lore dumping. Okay, so there's Team Sonic, who's Sonic, Tails, and Knuckles.
Okay.
There's Team Dark, which is Shadow, Rouge, and Omega.
Okay.
And there's Team Rose, which is Amy, Big, the Cat, and Cream.
Which is not, that team's not appearing.
Yeah. And there's Team Chaotix, who might appear in the Knuckles series. Maybe. If they have the budget for that, I don't think they do.
Okay, go ahead.
Which is Vector the Crocodile, Espio the Chameleon, and Charmy the Bee.
Yeah, so it's definitely just going to be Team Shadow and Team Sonic.
Team Dark and Team Sonic. Yeah, what? But yeah, so that's my... So my hypothesis is because they're going into, like, the, like... They're gonna give Shadow the rest of his team. So maybe Rouge shows up and discovers that Shadow is still alive and is like, oh my god, is that Shadow? That's crazy.
So more Keanu Reeves.
Yes, more Keanu Reeves, and...
Hopefully more Jim Carrey.
Hopefully more Jim Carrey.
Because they've redeemed him, but I'm okay if he goes full supervillain.
Yes, yes. The other crucial aspect of Shadow, of the Sonic Heroes Shadow lore, is that Shadow loses his memories.
Oh, so you think after the crash, he has forgotten that he and Sonic had a touching heart warming...
Except... He doesn't have Gerald to, like, manipulate him this time, so he just has, like, no idea who he's supposed to be, and that's, like, his main character arc. So...
And how does this tie into the new game that just came out?
Shadow Generations is literally just Shadow reliving his trauma. So...
Wait, what's the game that you just got for your birthday?
That's Sonic X Shadow Generations.
Right, you just called it Shadow, or...
Shadow Generation, because there's Sonic Generations and then there's Shadow Generation.
And there's two paths you have to play through?
Yeah.
Okay, so overall, the movie was excellent.
Yes.
It was everything you wanted in the fan service, and I didn't have any trouble following it, even though I can't lore dump like you can.
Okay, one more clue I had for Rouge showing up is the fact that there's the woman who's like a high ranking officer in Gun, and I think they're gonna make her into like this movie equivalent. The movie universe is equivalent of Topaz from the hit 2000s anime Sonic X, who is hashtag besties with Rouge, and when Rouge gets caught stealing a gem and they make her join Gunn as like penance.
Okay. And that's where we got the theme song for this part of the episode.
Yes.
They gotta go faster, faster, yeah. Faster, faster.
Yeah, that's from Sonic X.
Okay. So Maddie, this is generally where when we invite a guest on, they plug their crap.
Okay. My YouTube, I have two YouTube channels. The one where I post about Sonic stuff and also other stuff, just like whatever I feel like posting, like, so is Fairy Fandoms, and the handle is BejeweledBat13. So I mostly post about Sonic and Taylor Swift and just my life in general. And then the other one is where I specifically post about Webkinz and American Girl dolls, and that's Cheeky Cece. C-E-C-I.
Right. And you can find us at SmackDaddy.ca on all of our socials. We are on the YouTubes at SmackDaddies.ca or SmackDaddies.ca. SmackDaddy.ca on YouTube, SmackDaddy.ca on Instagram and Twitter. But you can find all of us stuff there. So that's it. By the way, this is the last episode we're recording before Christmas, so Merry Christmas, as it snows like the Dickens right now here in Nova Scotia.
And it's officially December 21st.
Yay! So, good night, have a great Christmas, and get ready for part one and two of WWE Trivia. We the Ones. Wait, are we the ones if Greg's not here?
No, maybe we're 0.5.
What would be a Sonic catchphrase to end it with?
Find the computer room.
The Revolutionary Podcast in sports entertainment. Father Greg and Brad. The dad bless you all with the lovely tales. But Friday night, SmackDown and beyond. Go to the outer limits of your mind with the Smack Daddies. Bye.